Hello and welcome to episode one, the first ever episode of the Send Mum Club podcast. So let me just introduce myself and explain to you a little bit about why I wanted to do this podcast. So my name's Gemma, I'm 43 and my background is radio. So I've done radio since I was 17. So, I mean, my maths is dreadful. Let's just leave it as that's a long time. Now, I've also done podcast producing and I've also hosted a couple of podcasts as well, but they haven't been about anything that is very personal to me. So they haven't felt that exposing and this feels quite vulnerable, to be honest. Let me just explain to you a little bit about why I wanted to make this podcast and why it's important to me. So I've got three children. I have got Alfie, who is my 16-year-old son. My daughter, Millie, is 11. And myself and my husband, Ben, have a little boy together who is called Leo. Leo turned 2 in October and he has Down syndrome, which for me was very difficult to come to terms with. It's a diagnosis that we weren't expecting. And when I've looked around, I can hear lots and lots of brilliant podcasts about parenting, and they're podcasts that I listen to all the time and I think they're amazing. But I haven't heard very many podcasts that are completely aimed at parents, well, specifically mums, I guess, for this podcast, who have children with additional needs or disabilities. And I thought there's a gap in the market here a little bit, and I wanted to make a podcast that's the kind of thing that I would listen to, that would have helped me then when I got the diagnosis, but also helped navigate this journey. Because I, previous to having Leo, had no experience of anyone with Down syndrome. And none of my friends so far have children with additional needs, or not that they were aware of yet anyway. So to start with, it kind of felt like I was navigating this journey on my own. I mean, my husband's extremely supportive and luckily we've been on the same page with kind of how we've dealt with it for the most part. But in terms of other mums, I thought, you hear this phrase all the time, don't you? Oh, it takes a village to raise a child. But what if you don't have a village? What if that isn't around you? Or what if your village doesn't have the same views that you do, or they don't get it? Do you know what I mean? I've got so many other mum friends who are so supportive and I'm really, really lucky. They're mum friends who I've had for years, who are just my friends who now have children, and women that I've met along the way through having my children, you know, at baby groups and things like that. But I think unless you are dealing with a diagnosis, you have a diagnosis, or your children does have those additional needs, I think you can't really understand unless you're in that situation. You can be supportive of people and people can help. And, you know, I've got those people in my life and I'm extremely grateful for them. But sometimes I feel like you need to speak to someone who just gets it without you having to explain what things mean and to feel seen, I guess. And that is what I want this podcast to be. So overall, I want it to be something that is extremely positive, but I also want it to be real. I want to be honest and I want my guests to be honest. So how it's going to work is the first episode is going to just be me, yay, telling my story about having my little boy with Down syndrome. And then moving forwards, the rest of the episodes are going to feature other mums. And it's going to be me chatting to those mums about their journey. And it's not just specific to Down syndrome, this podcast. It's called the Send Mum Club, isn't it? So it's all mums who have children with extra needs or disabilities. And there's such a broad spectrum of that. And even, you know, if somebody has a child with autism, their experience compared to another mum of a child with autism is going to be completely different. All children are completely different, whether they have a diagnosis or not. And I want this to be a place where mums can listen and we can learn from each other and feel heard and seen by each other. I'm only at the very beginning of this journey with Leo and I have got so much to learn. And I know that by speaking to other mums in a similar situation, on a similar journey to me, I know that I can learn. I know that we can help each other. We can lift each other up. And also, we can feel validated by each other. It's not a place where we have to be like, oh my God, no, but it's great. And aren't we lucky? And this and that and that. I want to have these honest conversations with other mums about the things that are really hard and the things that are tough and the feelings that you feel that maybe you don't feel great about feeling. But like I said, overall positive vibe on the Send Mum Club podcast, okay? So maybe I'll start from the beginning with my story, and I guess we'll see how it goes. So myself and my husband Ben started trying for a baby. I have two other children from a previous relationship who are Ben's stepchildren, but we started trying for a baby together, I think when I was 40. So we did have to have those conversations. Well, maybe we didn't have to, but we did have those conversations around, oh, you know, I'm a bit older. What can that mean? And the phrase Down syndrome was mentioned. And we were like, oh, what if at the time we used the word risk, which I now know is not the one at all. And this is the thing, isn't it? Even with the language, you have to learn the right language to use. You aren't handed a handbook to go, this is how you speak now. So at the time we used the word risk, and that makes me feel sad now because it's always a chance. It's never a risk of a diagnosis with anything. But anyway, so we had that conversation and we thought, okay, if we have tests and they come back with something that we weren't expecting, it doesn't matter. Like, we would carry on with the pregnancy anyway. We would just, you know, we'd crack on and that's fine. You never think that it's going to happen to you. You never think it will be your baby that comes back positive for whatever it is. The thing that I was most concerned about at the time was, will I be able to get pregnant? You know, I'm in my 40s. I don't know what my fertility's like. My other two children are older. So at the time, Millie would have been about 9 or 10. So I know that I had been able to get pregnant in the past, but, you know, things change, don't they? So I was like reading all this stuff and Instagram, the algorithm was bringing up everything about women in their 40s having children. And we were really lucky. We got pregnant within about 6 months of trying, I think, which felt like an eternity, but obviously wasn't. So that part was easy. The pregnancy was fine. I was extremely sick. Well, not sick, but nauseous the whole way through. So that made it quite difficult. I had loads of extra scans. We were into double figures by the time I actually had the baby. And that was for various reasons. But at no point in those scans was anything picked up. And I'd had the blood test, which includes the test for Down syndrome. And that came back low risk. Again, there's that word risk, isn't it? Not chance. Anyway, so that was the result we got from the blood test. So we cracked on, didn't think about it again. I went into labour 6 days early, I think. I had the baby at home. So people have asked me since, oh, do you wish you'd known that Leo was going to have Down syndrome? And I'm delighted that I didn't know, because there's no way that I would have been able to go ahead with a home birth. I know lots of babies with Down syndrome have to go to special care. We were lucky in the fact that Leo didn't. So I had Leo at home. It was beautiful. I'd had a really medical birth both times with my other children, and I didn't want to repeat that experience, hence the home birth. So that was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life and one I'll never forget. So Leo was born in the pool, did all the checks and all of that. I had my beautiful skin to skin and everything like that. And then we went upstairs with the baby and went to bed, which was amazing. Shout out to the Liverpool Women's Home Birth team, who were just incredible. And then the next day, the midwife came back to do Leo's top to toe check. And at that point, she started to ask some odd questions, I thought. She was asking about heritage in our family and things like that. And I was thinking, that's an odd question to ask. And then I think she mentioned a couple of other things. And I'll be honest, I'd literally given birth like 13 hours earlier. I can't remember the words she used, but she said, the baby's showing markers for Down syndrome. And I think at that point, your hormones are all over the place. Like I said, we weren't expecting it. We'd had the test, we put it out of our minds. And you think, oh, well, it can't be, though. She mentioned the shape of his eyes and the gap between his toes and the bridge of his nose. And I thought, oh, you know, you can't really tell what a baby looks like, can you, when they're born? Because all babies look like tiny, scrunched up old men. You know, they're swollen. You look at a baby a week later and they look completely different. And I was thinking, it can't be. She must be wrong. It's just not. So also, Leo had something else that meant we had to go to Alder Hey with him straight away. She said, I'm going to phone A&E. can you go up to Alder Hey now? And when you get there, I want you to ask them to do a blood test for Down syndrome. So, I mean, we're up the wall. It's even, you know, the day after you have a baby without any of this is a bit nuts, isn't it? Anyway, so we get in the car, didn't know how to fit the car seat in the car because we weren't expecting to leave the house in the car the day after having a baby. So we had to work all of that out, how to fit the base in. So that was a little stressful on top of everything else. We get up there, and to cut a very long story short, the first doctor came and looked at Leo in A&E, and we said, you know, the midwife has asked us to get a test for Down syndrome. And the doctor looked at him and he said, I can't really see what it is that's made her think that. And he said, I wouldn't have flagged it. He said, let me get my consultant down and get her to have a look as well. And she came down and kind of said the same thing. She was like, I don't know if I would have flagged this, but she said, we'll do the test. You know, let's find out for definite. But the overall vibe really was, we'll put your mind at rest, but probably not. And she said that it could be 2 weeks to get the results from the test, which you're like, oh my God, how the hell are we going to wait 2 weeks? So we go home with him and for the next few days, literally can't think about anything else. You know, you try and crack on. And all we were doing was saying to each other, yeah, but what if this? And but maybe that. And but because of this, but what do you think about that? And we were just constantly looking at him, trying to see these things that the midwife had said and work out what we thought. And then we get a call from Alder Hey saying, can you please come in for blood test results? And we were thinking, if it was negative, surely they'd tell us on the phone. So then we go through this whole thing of like, oh, maybe they're not allowed to give you negative results on the phone because in case it's not you, or, you know, maybe you have to go in regardless of the result. So, I mean, I actually don't know the answer to that still. But either way, they said, come in and, you know, we'll have a chat with you. And sitting in that waiting room, I have never, ever been as anxious, as nervous, as scared in my entire life. And all I remember was I kept thinking over and over again in my head, I kept imagining her saying to us, the test negative, the test is negative, he doesn't have it, just going round and round and round in my head. And it felt like we were sat there for days in that waiting room, waiting to go in. And then we see the consultant, who was the one who we'd seen in A&E, and she sat us down in a little room, and she said, I've got the words written down somewhere, but essentially the tests come back positive, Leo has Down syndrome. And I felt like my entire world had crumbled and broken. And it makes me feel emotional thinking about that now, because it was news we weren't expecting, and news that at the time felt like the worst thing that anybody could have said to us. And I feel guilty saying those words now. But like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I want this to be real. I want it to be helpful to other people and validating, because there will be thousands of other people who have had news like that, who thought those things and didn't feel able to say to somebody else, this is the worst thing that could have happened to me. Just for context, I absolutely don't feel like that anymore. But at the time, that's exactly how it felt. And I was sobbing. Our consultant, she's still Leo's consultant now, and she's absolutely lovely. And she was really kind to us, actually. I know, speaking to other parents, not everybody has that experience, which is a shame, but we were extremely lucky. And she said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to give you a few minutes to just be on your own and kind of take in what I've said. And then she came back and she gave us some information leaflets. And I remember vividly her saying, whatever you do, do not Google. She said, don't Google Down syndrome. She said, there's so much outdated information on the internet. And she's right, there is. So she gave us some resources and some places to look where we could actually get correct, proper information and find out what we, you know, questions that we had. And then she said, I'll make another appointment for you in 3-4 weeks and you can come back and then we can have a talk once it's kind of sunk in a little bit and you've wrapped your heads around it. Took a lot longer than that. So yeah, our experience, well, our entire experience at Older Hay, I have to say, has just been incredible so far. But yeah, with her, I do feel very lucky that we were told in a very empathetic and sensitive way, because I know that isn't the case for everybody. So then we go home with our 5-day-old baby, and then you have to start to process something that you never thought you'd hear, that at the time feels horrendous. There were lots of tears. There was lots of anger. There was a feeling of grief, of letting go of how we thought that our life would look. And I just remember feeling like that bubble had been burst. You know, you have that baby bubble when everything's perfect and obviously you're delirious with tiredness and you're sore and you can't sit down and all of those things that happen post-birth. You're leaking from everywhere and you don't feel your best, but you, and you look at this tiny baby and you're just filled with love and you read about this baby bubble. And I've had it before with my other two children, and it was like somebody had come along with a big pin and gone pop, and we kept looking at him and like loving him so much, but then it was like this wave of sadness and it was just so hard. And I speak to people now, and I've had people message me since who have just had babies who have the same diagnosis as Leo or a similar diagnosis, you know, a diagnosis where you would know at birth. So it's a shock. And I just feel so sad for them, because I remember how awful I felt, and like physically awful, the thought of what our life was going to be. Because with Down syndrome specifically, because, you know, this is my story, so this is my experience, there's such a massive scale of how it can affect children. Like, no, as I said, no child is the same, but no child with Down syndrome is the same either. And you've got a tiny, tiny newborn baby, and you're like, oh my God, there's lists and lists and lists of things that they might not do and things that they might struggle with. And it doesn't matter what anybody says, because you don't know. People can go, oh, it'll be fine. You know, of course he'll do this. Of course he'll walk. Of course he'll talk. Of course this will happen. And you're like, well, but will he though? Because he can't even move at the minute. He's a tiny newborn baby. They, you know, he can't even focus his eyes. He's seeing in black and white. He can kind of kick his legs and look cute, but we don't know if he's going to walk. We don't know what his muscle tone's going to be like, what his brain development's going to be like. And that is absolutely terrifying. Like, really terrifying. You're like, I have no idea what the future's going to look like. That, what is our life going to be like? And it just makes me feel so sad thinking back to us then in our bedroom with our tiny baby, looking at him, feeling so sad. And a lot of that is because we had no experience of anyone with Down syndrome before. There's nobody with Down syndrome in our family. And it sounds ridiculous, I don't think I'd ever had a conversation with somebody with Down syndrome. So I had these kind of, as many people do, and it is a bit embarrassing to say now, but again, this is an honest place, and it's a place I hope that's a safe space, because that's kind of what the idea of this podcast is. It's being able to be honest and those feelings being valid. I was just had outdated ideas, outdated visions and ideas of what Down syndrome meant, of what that would look like, of what he would and wouldn't be able to do. And it's just ignorance, isn't it? You know, I consider myself to be a kind, empathetic person, but I just didn't know what that meant and what it could look like and how different that could look like for different people. And I guess for me, that is a really positive part of this journey with Leo, because it's opened my eyes to a whole new world And that was a bit Aladdin, wasn't it? That I just didn't know was there before. Or maybe I knew was there, but had never even dipped a toe into before. And I guess that's the name of the podcast, is the Send Mum Club. It is a club. It's a club that you didn't ask to be part of, but it's a club that you're in. And at the beginning of joining that club, you're like, oh my God, what on earth? How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to cope? How are we going to get our heads around this? And then I think the further along you get, the more you see that it's opening your eyes to a beautiful, beautiful section of the world that certainly I had never seen before. And the fact that difference can be the most beautiful part of everything. Leo has definitely 100% made me a better person. He's made me kinder. He's made me more patient. He's made me less judgmental, more empathetic. And I hoped that I was those things before, but I know that I am those things now. This episode is supported by Positive About Down Syndrome, also known as PADS, supporting expectant and new parents. PADS understand that receiving a Down syndrome diagnosis, whether that's during pregnancy or at birth, can bring a mix of emotions and many questions. And that's why they're there to offer reassurance, information, and real life experiences from families who've been in the same position. Their website provides contemporary, balanced resources to help expectant and new parents understand what having a child with Down syndrome really means today. Through powerful, honest stories from parents, they challenge outdated stereotypes, of which there are a lot, and highlight the pride, love, and fulfillment that comes with raising a child with Down syndrome. They offer a super supportive, non-judgmental online community where parents can connect, ask questions, and gain insight from others who truly understand. In addition, they provide expert-led training for healthcare professionals, ensuring that parents receive accurate information and compassionate support from the very start of their journey. PADS believe that the birth of every baby with Down syndrome should be celebrated, that every expectant and new parent should receive the care and support that they deserve, and that parents should have access to the information and support to ensure their child has every opportunity to flourish and thrive. Thank you to PADS for supporting this episode of the Send Mum Club. Something that I found really helpful, oddly, considering how much stick it gets, is social media. So specifically Instagram, because when I was in those early stages in the trenches with a newborn and a diagnosis that I wasn't expecting, feeling absolutely terrified, Instagram was a place where I found other mums to connect with who had children with Down syndrome. And I could see, I mean, obviously Instagram, everyone's only posting their best bits. I know that, but I could see people having happy lives with their children. And at the very beginning, I couldn't see that for us. If I'm being completely honest, I thought everything's dreadful and it's going to be dreadful forever. And slowly but surely, these accounts started coming up. I found a couple, a few friends had mentioned people that they'd seen on Instagram who were posting just normal life and doing things that I enjoy and people that looked like me and had a life similar to ours with these beautiful children with the same diagnosis as Leo, living really full and happy lives. And those people, there was a few of them that I reached out to in those early days and was like, I don't really know where I am here. I don't really know what's going on. Like, your account has helped me, basically, just kind of putting those feelers out to be like, hi, I'm struggling here. Please help me. And I've found it to be such an incredibly supportive place. I know it isn't all the time, but in this instance, it helped me immeasurably in the beginning to feel like I wasn't the only one. I think, like I said, we had no experience of Down syndrome, so I wasn't aware of how many children every year in the UK are born with Down syndrome. I think it's, depending on the figures you look at, it's around 1 in 700 children. So it is everywhere, but I'd just never seen it before. So at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, it's just us. There's nobody else in this situation. I mean, you know, obviously you go to the dramatics, don't you? When you get news you're not expecting, when you're up the wall with hormones, you're trying to breastfeed a new baby, all of that. And I found this community on social media that helped me. And then I thought, okay, if that's helped me, maybe I can help other people. Oh God, I remember doing my first post on Instagram because we told people, it was so hard at the beginning to work out how to tell people that we'd had this diagnosis. I couldn't even say the words without crying, which, you know, it feels a bit crazy now, but it is what it is. That's how you feel at the time, isn't it? I mean, maybe other people don't, but this is my experience. And once we told the people that we felt like, I mean, our families all over the place and we've got friends all over the country, like close friends. Once we told those people, either in person or on the phone, that, you know, are the close people to us, like our really close circle, I thought, I can't keep having this conversation over and over again. I just want to kind of put it out there and then it's done. And I took some lovely pictures of Leo on our bed, looking extremely cute, and posted that we'd had this diagnosis. And I can't really remember what I wrote. I should have looked back at it really to see what I put. And I remember feeling so anxious about pressing send. And I think maybe because it made it feel real. Like, I know it's only Instagram, but once you put something out there, then it's out there for everybody to see, isn't it? And I press send and I think I like literally threw my phone across the room and I didn't go back to it. I don't even know if I went back to it that day. And when I did come back to it and I looked at that post, the amount of supportive comments and the amount of people who, not really giving advice, but just saying really helpful things, or even just likes or people putting hearts, you know, just to feel supported by people. And people were saying positive things. And I guess maybe it was the start of me feeling like it wasn't the most dreadful thing in the world, which of course it isn't. But these were the feelings that I was having at the time. And I thought, this is going to be helpful for me. And if it's helpful for me, then it can be helpful for other people. And I made the decision early on to not make my Instagram just about Leo and his diagnosis. My Instagram's about everything. It's about food, it's about work, it's about the kids, it's about the dog, you know, just general life. But the accounts that I latched onto and really found helpful are the accounts that are posting solely about, well, for me, Down syndrome. And I thought, that's not what I want to do, but I do want to kind of dip into that a little bit. So every so often, I will post something purely about Leo and his Down syndrome. You know, whether that's like, oh my God, isn't this amazing? Look, he's stood up using a walker for the first time, or he's rolled over. Because those things that are general milestones to typical children, Leo has to try harder to do those things. So we make sure we celebrate those like in a huge way every time. And you know, I've also put on Instagram before that it's been a hard week this week. You know, he's got dreadful reflux. He hasn't kept a thing down. I'm covered in sick all the time. I can't leave my house. This is hard. And people have come back and made me feel like I'm not on my own. And I'm hoping that I have also done that for other people on Instagram. Well, I know I have, because people have reached out to me and it's nice to feel like you can pay it forward. People have helped me. I've helped other people. Those people are helping other people, you know, behind you in your journey. Also, I know there are people that have children with additional needs or disabilities who don't feel comfortable ever posting about that, but they like to see that content because it helps them. And really, that's what this podcast is all about. What I want it to be all about is about paying it forwards. It's about creating something where mums can listen to this podcast. Maybe they haven't got anyone to talk to about it, but they can listen to this and go, I felt like that. I feel like this. I'm struggling with this. And I want to get advice from people. I want funny stories about when things have gone dreadfully wrong, but actually it turned out to be funny, about overcoming adversity, about those beautiful moments with these beautiful children that we've got. And hopefully it can make you feel less alone, if that's what you need. It can make you feel seen and validated. and part of something. And I'm going to be getting all kinds of different people on this podcast. They are all going to be mums because it's called the Send Mum Club. It kind of has to be mums, doesn't it? Although maybe I might get my husband on closer to Father's Day. That might be nice to tell kind of his version of this story. So I can't wait to speak to all kinds of women because I can learn from other people. You know, I'm only 2 and a bit years into this journey. We've just done our DLA form, which, oh my goodness, tripped me over mentally so much. I think having to go through all of that paperwork, all of the forms, getting everything signed and seeing everything, I think, written down in black and white for me was incredibly confronting. All the letters from the doctors, all the different teams that he's under. And it really, really, well, like I say, it tripped me up. Mentally, I felt like I was in a good place, and doing that form, I felt hugely overwhelmed by everything. And it took me a good couple of weeks to kind of get over that. And I know that I'm not the only person who's felt like that. It sounds silly, doesn't it? It sounds trivial. Oh, it's just filling in a form. But it's a lot more than that, because you're having to go through every difficulty that your child has to prove that you warrant getting the disability allowance. Now, we're a couple of years away from getting an EHCP yet, but I know that that's not an easy process. And there will be mums on this podcast talking about EHCPs. There'll be mums who've had brilliant experiences, mums that have struggled. We haven't gone through the school process yet. We haven't potty trained. We haven't gone to speech and language. You know, we are at the beginning of this journey. I'm going to be speaking to mums with older children, mums with babies, and everything in between, really. One of the things that I'm going to do is ask my guests what is the best piece of advice you've been given along the way. And I thought about this. The best piece of advice that I've been given along the way, or one of them, was right at the very beginning. And it was from a lovely woman called Mel, who works for the Down Syndrome Liverpool charity. And at the time, she was the person that went out and met new parents to kind of invite them to be involved with the charity and help, really. And we went for a coffee, and she said to me, and I was really in the trenches with this at the time, Leo was brand new, and she said to me, just look at your baby, see your baby before you see the diagnosis. And she did say, you know, that's easy to say and difficult to do, but it really helped me, because it goes so quickly, doesn't it? Especially when they're teeny tiny and brand new. And I really tried to do that. And it was a real lesson that for me in living in the moment and trying not to look too far ahead, because looking too far ahead did and still does feel scary, because it's the unknown, isn't it? You don't know what things are going to look like. I know more now what they're going to look like. I know that Leo will talk. He's got quite a lot of words. I know he will walk, although he isn't walking yet. I can see that he will be able to do that. So that feels easier. But in terms of brain development and education, I have no idea what that will look like. And that is terrifying. And I try and protect myself as much as I can by not looking forward too much. A little bit, I'll dip my toe in and then go, okay, that's enough. I'll come back to now. So that was my best piece of advice that I got. And then the other thing that I'm going to ask all my guests is, what did you wish that you knew when you got the diagnosis? So for me, that was at birth. For other people, that might be a diagnosis of autism when their child was 7 or 5 or something else later on in life. But that, I think, could be really helpful to other mums who are on a similar journey, is what do you wish you could go back and tell yourself? And the thing that I would go back and tell myself is that people aren't lying when they say that Down syndrome is beautiful, because it really is. there are characteristics that my Leo has got that are, he is open, he is warm, he's funny, he's kind, people radiate towards him. He's my calmest baby yet. And those things aren't in spite of his diagnosis of Down syndrome. They're because of it. They're amplified because of his diagnosis. And I vividly remember looking back at people on Instagram going, why are you lying? Why are you saying this is beautiful? Why are you saying it's special? And it's opened your eyes to a whole new life that's great, because you're lying, that can't be true. But it really is. So I wish I could go back and tell myself those things, but then it's just life, isn't it? You have to go through, what's the phrase, go through it to grow through it. And you really do. You have to feel all of those feelings to go past them and realize that the journey you're on is the journey that you were always meant to be on, however hard it is. And those challenges just make you a better person. So that was it. Oh my God, we're done. Episode one of the Send Mum Club podcast is done. And my next episode will feature a guest. I've got some really, really exciting people coming up that I'm really looking forward to talking about, who I think I can learn a lot from, you can learn a lot from. So make sure that you follow or like or subscribe or however it is that your podcast app works, because if you do those things, then it will mean that the next episode will automatically pop up when it's out. And if you would like to rate, only 5 stars, obviously, it'll help other people find us as well. So that's it. Episode one, over and out.